You and I have the opportunity as born-again Christians to have a relationship with God, a relationship with God. And so that's exciting. That's available. And as we pursue that relationship, as we try to learn God and seek His face and get to know Him intimately, this process is going to do something to us. It's going to change us in many ways. And I believe it'll give us a less of a desire for the things of the world. It'll cause us to want to turn from our wicked ways. There's something about getting in the presence of the holiness of God. And we're going to talk about this. Now, let me give you just some real practical things today. We spent the last two Sundays that we taught on this, on talking about the importance of learning His names. Now, what I did was I just went through the Old Testament and I gave you a listing of the different names by which God introduced Himself in the Old Testament. Now, folks, we could continue. There's many more names of God in the Bible than what we covered. Let me just encourage you, if you want to seek the face of the Lord, then let me share this with you. I think you should, and we're going to talk a little bit about this, but I think that in learning the names of God and how God presents Himself to us, we're going to learn a lot about His character. And then also, I think that there ought to be a grand study done by every single person in this room. Even if you just make up your mind that as you're reading through your Bible, if you're reading in a systematic way for your Bible, just kind of in a special way, look for God and how He presents Himself by name. Then look for the names of Jesus Christ. I think you can learn so much about Christ just by learning what the Bible calls Him and how God refers to Him. And then I would do the same thing with the Holy Spirit of God. And we're not going to go into that deep of a study of those things. We just gave you a precursor. We gave you some Old Testament information about how God presented Himself. But folks, if you just say, you know what, one of the purposes of me reading the Bible is to familiarize myself with God and to learn about Him. So every time that Jesus or the Holy Spirit or God the Father is referred to, I want to, you might even keep a little notebook and just jot down the name and the reference beside that, because as you learn His names, you're going to learn a little bit more about His character. Take some time to study on that, to think about that. I've been doing some study. We have, and let me just encourage you, don't miss this next Wednesday night. Honestly, we started last Wednesday night. We're preaching a lot on prayer this year, and this is the year of prayer, but we're preaching on praying for the fullness of the Holy Spirit. We gave an introductory lesson on that last Wednesday. We're going to teach on it again this Wednesday. You know, I'm afraid that we just do not, as Baptist people, and maybe I'm just making an assumption. I may be wrong, but I just don't think we really know the Holy Spirit as we ought to know the Holy Spirit. I don't think we know Christ as we ought to know Christ. I don't think we know God. You say, Brother Jerry, is there three gods? No, there's one God. But He is a triune God. You say, Brother Jerry, that doesn't make sense to me. Well, welcome to the study of God. You know, I mean, it's disturbing. People want to accuse us of having a false doctrine. There are churches that don't believe in the Trinity. Be careful of the Jesus-only crowd. I'm just telling you that. I'm just saying that as your preacher. Because they want to, they don't understand. You know, what we want to do is we want to be able to get God, put Him under a microscope, and figure Him out. You say, well, Brother Jerry, He's one God. Yes, but He's three distinct personalities. Yes, well, then how can He be one? I don't know. You mean you don't know? No, I don't know. You see, this little pea brain can't comprehend God. Neither can yours. And so what we've got to do is just accept who God says He is, even if we can't comprehend who He is. But I want to talk to you a little bit about those things today, because we're going to get into this. The reason we're in Psalm chapter number 1 is because we're going to talk about, once you learn His names and you learn and study the character of God in reference to His names, then I think one of the most important steps to learning to seek the face of God is something that we don't preach enough about. I probably don't preach enough about. I don't challenge you enough about, but it is vitally important in your Christian life, and that's this matter of meditation. Meditation. The Bible talks about meditation. I'm not talking about some weird thing that's Eastern religions do. I'm not talking about, you know, lighting a candle and standing in an open room and, you know, this type of thing. You know, that's not what I'm talking about. But the Bible talks about meditation. If you learn biblical meditation, if you practice biblical meditation, you will find that not only will you get to know God on a level that you never have, but you will also eliminate a lot of open doors into your mind that Satan accesses all the time. Folks, I think it's a sin to daydream.
Yes, sir.
I don't think the mind should ever wander. And if it does, we should, when we realize that it's doing that, we should rein it in. The one area of our Christian life we probably lack the most discipline is what we control as far as what we think about. Well, I can't help it. Yes, you can. You choose to think about what you choose to think about. Satan, of course, is going to interject things into your mind that you shouldn't think about. And the Bible talks about that. We're cast down imaginations and every thought that exalts itself against God. And we're going to bring in captivity those thoughts to the obedience of Christ. I'm not saying that Satan is never going to interject wrong thoughts into your life. But this whole idea of I just can't help what I think about is ridiculous. You know, I'm depressed. Well, why are you depressed? Well, I can't help it. Well, what are you thinking about? You're thinking about all the depressing things in your life. That's why you're depressed. Now, I mean this. I think it's wrong. Folks, if you've got thinking time, you ought to have something planned to think about. When you're driving, you ought to have things planned to think about. And one of the things that will help you so much is learning to meditate and learning to dwell mentally on the right things. Now, in Psalm chapter number 1, I want to show you how important this is. The Bible talks about the blessed man here. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And let me just say this. Evil communications do corrupt good manners. They do. But one of the real reasons that this is listed prior to the other verses is if you hang around ungodly or negative people, then you know what? You're going to have ungodly and negative thoughts. If you, let me say it again. You hang around ungodly and negative people, your mind is going to be dwelling on, for the most part, ungodly and negative things. So your associations are so important. You know, you have a 30-minute conversation with an ungodly scorner, and you're the rest of the day your mind's going to be consumed on what was said in that conversation. And that's why I'm not going to have those conversations. I'm not going to have those conversations. No, I'm not. Sorry, call somebody else. You want to gossip? Call somebody else. You want to run somebody down? Call somebody else. You want to talk about all the problems and all the negativities? Then call somebody else. You know why? Because I don't want my mind down in that junk. Bible says this, but his delight, whose delight? The blessed man, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And what this means is this man thinks about certain things on purpose. He meditates on purpose on certain things. And then it goes on to say, okay, how important is this? Well, verse number 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's an incredible list there, by the way. You know, this is talking about a vibrant, healthy Christian that's producing fruit. You think about, break that down. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. How does that compare to someone who lives in verse number 1 and meditates on that junk that's produced from verse number 1? And it's like a tree that's trying to grow out in the desert, void of water.
Yep.
Shriveled up, struggling just to survive. Unfortunately, a lot of Christians do not reflect the success or the character traits of verse number 3. They're just the opposite of this. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in the season. Folks, listen, if you practice, the difference between living in verse 1 and living in verse 2 is productivity, the bearing of fruit. fruitfulness in the Christian life, having the right kind of Holy Spirit fruit produced in your life. His leaf also shall not wither. That's talking about a healthy plant. You ever taken a look at a tree that you tried to plant and get going in your yard, and you went out there and you realized, this thing, I don't think it's going to make it. The leaves are all turned and curled and it just looks like it's hanging on for dear life. I'm sorry, but too many Christians look like that. Now, let me ask you this. Are you meditating? Are you meditating? Now, what's this have to do about seeking the face of God? Folks, listen to me. One of the things that you're going to find as you look through the verses, and I reread them this morning. Good night, I don't remember. Probably 100 verses I reread this morning that specifically commands and encourages us to seek the face of God. And you'd be surprised how many of them say to seek Him with your mind. We're to seek Him with our mind. You want to seek the face of God, then you've got to mentally pursue Him. You need to pursue Him in your thoughts. You need to pursue Him in your meditations. And we're going to see that. And if you do that, you know what? You're going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And there's three things in the book of Psalms, in particular, in the book of Psalms. There are other places, but we'll stay within Psalms. But in this matter of meditating on God, meditating on His character, if you want to learn about God, I'm going to give you a very easy formula and a way to pursue Him, seek Him with your mind, with your mind. Pursue Him with your mind. Seek His face with your mind. Mentally seek the face of God. Now, how do you do that, Brother Jerry? Let me just give you maybe a very poor illustration or a poor parallel. I don't think there's anything wrong with learning men and studying successful men. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think it's as important as seeking God and learning God. But Jeremiah said, I will get me to the great men. And I think that there's a certain amount of greatness because of what God, men have allowed God to do in their life and through their life. And if you can learn something from somebody that's flesh and blood, you know, you ought to probably do that if they're being greatly used of God. But let me just give you this little formula, and you're going to see, I think, even though maybe it's a little bit of a poor illustration, I think you'll see the parallel here, and it'll help you to realize what we have available to us so that we can learn God. When I went to Bible college, I know that the Lord wanted me to go, and at that time I went to Hiles Anderson Bible College. That's where I went to get my training for the ministry. At that time, the chancellor and the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Hammond was Dr. Jack Hiles. I sat there as a young man called into the ministry, training for the ministry, and I said, this is the preacher that God's put me under, and I'm going to try to do the best I can to learn this man. I want to learn this man. Now, let me just say this, folks. Brother Hiles pastored a large church. It was a large Bible college at that time. It wasn't like I didn't have a cell phone number. For one thing, there was no cell phones. Man, that was glorious days, blessed days. We were still using smoke signals is what we were using back in those days. But there was no cell phones. It's not like I just said, you know what, I think I'll just swing by the office and see if Brother Jack's in, and I'll sit down and talk to him for a while. You know, that just wasn't available, you know. And, you know, it's not like I called him up and said, hey, man, I'm going to Shoney's. You doing anything? You know, that's just didn't happen, you know. So what did you do? Well, what I did was I said, if I want to learn him, now watch this. He wrote a lot of books. You know, and if you want to learn about somebody and they happen to write a book or some books, instead of going and taking their personal time, if you'd read what they wrote, you're going to know how they think. Are you listening to me? So even though I couldn't sit down face to face with him, I could read what he wrote. Secondly, what I did was I examined what he did. I studied his works. I studied what he did and how he did it and why he did it. And then thirdly, I tried to observe as best I could from a distance his character. I watched how he interacted with people. I watched how he treated people. I watched how the little things, how he walked from the pulpit to the seat to the pulpit and back, how he greeted men, how he greeted ladies, how he greeted children. I tried the best I could to study his character from a distance. Now, listen to me, folks. That, by the way, that worked. You know what? If you walked up to Brother House while he's still alive 10 years after I was out of college and mentioned my name, I don't even know if he would have known it, but I knew him to a certain extent. I learned him while I was there. Now, let me share something with you. God wrote a book. God wrote a book. If you want to get to know God, you've got to know this book. That's why it says, His delight shall be in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. There's three things that we are commanded in the book of Psalms to meditate upon, or encouraged to meditate upon. And David was the great example of these things, a man after God's own heart. David, if you'll learn one thing about the writings in the book of Psalms, much of the verses that talk about seeking God and the importance of it was written by the hand of David, because David sought his God. And the first thing he did in this process was to say the portion of inspired scripture that David had available to him at that time, he lived in it and he loved it and he meditated upon it because he could lay his hands on the writings of God. And I wish we could get back to have a holy reverence and an understanding that this is not a book of men. This is not a book that was authored by men. This was a book authored by God and penned down by men. But the author of this book is God. These are the words of God. Don't forget that. That's so important. So we see that his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Psalm 119, and most of you, let's go there because I want to just jump through and read a few verses. But most of you understand that Psalm 119 is the largest chapter, the longest chapter in the Bible, and also that almost without exception, except for just a couple of verses, in every single verse there's a reference of some kind to the Word of God, to the precepts or the statutes or the words of Almighty God. Now, David, if you read this psalm, and this is a psalm that if you haven't read in a while, let me just ask you to read it this week. The one thing that you'll come away with is that David loved the scriptures. You know why he loved the scriptures? Because he loved his God. Because he was passionate about pursuing and getting to know God. And if you're gonna get to know God, a good place to start, if you want to seek his face, then find out what he wrote if you want to learn about him. Psalm 119, let's just look at a few verses. Look at verse number 23. How important is it to meditate on the Word of God? We're going to see this mentioned over and over and over again. Psalm 119, 23, princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. You know what he was saying? He was saying, listen, is this perfect? Look at this verse again. He said, while some people lived in Psalm 1:1, I chose to live in Psalm 1:2. Where do you live? Where do you live? Are you getting this? Where do you live? I mean, how much time this week have you spent meditating on the words of God? I didn't say reading the words of God. I said meditating on the words of God. Folks, listen, we've got to get past just reading the Bible, closing it, and never giving another thought about what we read till the next day when we open it up to read it again. If you're just reading the Bible and you're not meditating on the Bible, it's probably not doing you a whole lot of good. Excuse me. I'm not saying stop. I'm just saying what you could get and what you are getting is from here to here. Meditate on the Bible. He said, princes also did sit and speak against me. He said, there's the scorners. There's the ungodly. People talking about and thinking about, their minds and their mouths are consumed with garbage. Garbage. While we have the sweet words of God that we could spend our time talking about and meditating on. How about verse number 48? Verse number 48 says this, my hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Wonder why he was a man after God's own heart. Look at verse number 78. We see this matter of meditation brought up again and again. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. There's Psalm 1:1. But I will meditate in thy precepts. There's Psalm 1:2. Wasn't that good? Verse 97. Let's look at verse number 97. Oh, how I love thy law! It is my meditation all the day. And in verse number 99, every one of our school kids, their life verse. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Amen. Thy testimonies are my meditation. If you were to say to David, hey, what do you spend your thinking time on? He'd said the Word of God. What do you spend your chariot driving time on? The Word of God. The Word of God. What do you, when you wake up in the middle of the night and you can't sleep, what do you start thinking about? The Word of God. The Word of God. See, I think David had a love affair with the Bible. He loved the Bible because he loved the God of the Bible. And as Psalms 148 speaks about the time he spent at night, in the middle of the night, mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. Now, I'm going to help you with something. Listen, if you want to get to know somebody, if they wrote something, read it. If you want to get to know your preacher, would you read what I wrote? Not as important what God wrote, but you know, you might want to read it. I've had two people in the last 2 weeks ask me something specifically that they wanted me to get for them that's in one of my books. So I told Cheryl, just hand them the book. They're too lazy to read it. I'm not answering their questions. Amen? And I think God feels that way. We go, oh God, oh God. And we're pleading for an answer from God. And I think God's like, why don't you read the book? I wrote a book. Those answers are in there. Read the book. The answers are in there. Amen. And so the Word of God, the Word of God, read it. And if you read the words of God, you're going to start understanding about God. You're going to learn about Him. Now, let's look at number two. We are commanded to meditate on God. Well, how do we do that? We meditate on the Word of God. Then we meditate on the works of God. When I wanted to get to see if I could learn as much as I could while I was there about the man that was in charge of the ministry there, I read what he wrote, and then I watched what he did. I learned not only what he did, I learned what he had done. I found out what he was doing and what he had done in his life, and that helped me to learn about him. Psalm 77, looky there, Psalm 77 and verse number 12. Here was David, who I think had an incredible relationship with God, and he did so because of what he thought about, and he spent some time meditating. Psalm 77 and verse 12, David said, I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Verse number 11, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Now, let's go one more verse, and then I'll talk to you about this. Look at Psalm 143. We see it reinforced, 143rd Psalm. We see also a reference to the importance of meditating on the works of God. We meditate on the Word of God. We meditate on the works of God. Psalm 143 and verse number 5. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. Now let me give you several things here. I think this is talking about a number of things. I think the works of God include creation. I think that you can learn a lot about God by looking at His creation and studying His creation. God is revealed through His creation. You know, that's why Paul got frustrated and said, doth not nature itself teach you? You know, there's some things that we've accepted, and some people are walking around saying, well, show me a Bible verse. And I think God said, good night, look around at my creation. You ought to know better than doing some things. That goes on to say, doth not nature itself teach you that it is a shame for a man to have long hair? And it's like almost like Paul says, I don't believe I even have to write about this. It's nonsense. Why do I even have to address this? What he was saying is what is in you as a created being, folks. It's not culture. It's inborn, put into us in creation. There's a reason that as much as you'd like to think that you're so open-minded, and people would like to, that when they see a man walk in with long hair, there's something inside of you that says, that's wrong. That's just not right. You know, and this matter of gender blending is wrong. Where's all your verses? Well, ding dong, look at creation. There's a cow and there's a bull. Some of you just need to get back out on the farm, man. You've been in the asphalt jungle too long. I mean, you know, good night, what are we doing here? You know, this big war, you know, the ERA movement, the IRA movement, whatever it was, I don't know. You know, the big arguments and this, well, I got my rights and I'm as good as anybody. This doesn't matter and that doesn't matter. I'm thinking, you know what? There's some things God said, you know what? If you ain't got enough sense to look out at what I created and learn something, then, you know, you're not going to stand before me one of these days. Well, you didn't put a specific verse in the Bible about that. God's going to say, you dummy. I put something inside of you that told you it was wrong. It was put in you from creation. That there's boundaries. There's boundaries of gender. There's boundaries of purpose of creation and how we were created and what we were supposed to be and what we were supposed to do. And so those are kind of no-brainer things. We can look at the creation of God. We can look at, and that's part of his works. That's what he said, the work of thy hands. I will remember the days of old. I will meditate on all thy works. Let me say this. You ought to meditate, spend some time meditating on the works of God as you find them in the scriptures. You know why the Old Testament is valuable? And I'm not with that group that says, get rid of the Old Testament, carry around a New Testament. That's all we need in this day and age. That's so foolish. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. But one of the things that the Old Testament teaches us is we get to see when God did an unusual work, either of blessing or judgment. And if we study those things and learn those things, we're going to understand God. You know, why don't I jump on the bandwagon with the politically correct thinking that, you know, sodomy, homosexual lifestyle is just an alternative lifestyle and we ought to be open-minded and accept it all? Why don't I jump on that? Because I know the works of God. Because I've seen in the Bible, I've meditated on that. I know how he reacted to that. I know not just what he said about it, what he did about it. So I'm not sucked into that, you know, because I know God. I meditate on that part of God. I see what he did. I see why. I want to see what he did. I want to ask him to reveal to me why he did it. I want to study the scriptures and know how he, you know, I've often said, so someone say, you know, what do you believe about this? I say, if you want to know what I believe about it, look at what I did about it. Look at what I do about it. Yes, sir. Amen. People say, well, Brother Jerry, what do you think about this? Or how do you feel about this? Well, what do I do about it? If you see what I do about it, you know what I think about it. And if I see what God does about something, I'm going to know what he thinks about something. And so I learn more about his character. Now, folks, I know it's much better to, you know, drive down the road every time you get in a car and listen to some foolish talk radio station. But it's not getting you, listen, that's not seeking the face of God. I know it's much easier just to kind of sit there while you're in the Walmart line and stare at the ceiling and daydream or look around at all the, you know, the freak show around you. I mean, I know that all that's available, but I would suggest that if you're stuck in line somewhere, instead of just letting your mind wander, you might meditate on something important. You might pursue the Lord. Seek his face. And we must do these things, folks. We must do these things if we're going to get to know God. We talked about meditating on the Word of God and the works of God, and then meditating on God himself. And this is, of course, talking about his character. Let's look at a couple of verses. Look, if you will, at chapter 63, the 63rd Psalm. And now we see where we get down to it. David says these things about meditating on the words of God, the precepts, the statutes, the principles, the commands of God. and then the works of God, and then the character of God. Psalm 63 and verse number 6, we read this. He said, well, let me go back to verse 5. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Now here he's saying, I'm not meditating on the words of God. I'm not meditating even on the works of God. I'm just meditating on God. This is where we meditate on his character. This is why we need to learn his names, and we can meditate on the different aspects of his character that's revealed to us through his names, or what we know about God's character is revealed to us through the word of God. Psalm 104, let's jump over there real quick. Psalm 104 and verse number 34. This is sweet. I like this verse. Psalm 104, 34. He said, my meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. I will be glad in the Lord. Now, I'm giving some of you a great formula here. I believe we've got to stop being mentally lazy, mentally undisciplined. We've got to stop it. If you're going to pursue the Lord and you're going to get to know God, and you're going to seek his face, then you have to harness your thinking power. Harness your mind. That mind is, listen, it's, you let it run around, it's like a 2-year-old child. It'll run out in the street. You can't just let your mind roam and wander and run around undisciplined. You have to decide. Now, folks, listen to me. This will help you on your morning Bible reading, I promise you. Instead of just reading the Bible and deciding you're done with it, as you read your Bible, say, as I read my Bible today, Lord, I want to pull out things from my Bible reading that I will spend the day meditating upon during those times where I have those opportunities to meditate. And if you do that, it's going to change the way you read your Bible. Because all of a sudden, you're not just looking for something for the moment, you're looking for something for the day. I mean, folks, you're not just eating a quick snack, you're packing a lunch. And you're going to take some things with you. I think that's why it's very important. I'll give you a great, great suggestion. If you read the Bible, and especially verses that at first reading doesn't make a whole lot of sense to you, if you will take a 3x5 card and jot those verses down and just stick them in your pocket or stick them in your purse, and when you're stuck in line somewhere, if you'll pull that out and reread that and meditate on that a word at a time, a phrase at a time, and then the entire verse together, it's amazing how many incredible things the Lord has taught me driving down the road. It's amazing how many life-changing principles I learned while waiting in line at the bank drive-up. I'm not kidding you. It's there. God wants to show himself to you. He wants to reveal himself. The one thing that we didn't take the time to do, and maybe I'll do this in introduction for next week's lesson, but let me just say this. I can show you promise after promise after promise in the Bible where God says, if you seek me, you will find me. It's like he's dying for somebody to try it. He wants a Christian just to go past knowing him as Savior. He wants to be known. He wants to be sought after. He wants to reveal himself to us. Man, that's exciting. And this doesn't happen just in the people's lives who have the flexibility or you know, well, Brother Jerry, that's easy for you to say, you know, you can just spend hours and studying the Bible. Listen, this can happen to you in the busy days of life. And honestly. And so getting to know God, to meditate on his word, to meditate on his works, and then to meditate on his character, and just let your mind seek after the Lord. Now, let me encourage you in closing. I want you to turn to Psalm 63 in closing. That's where we'll end up today. Because this, I believe, is the psalm that teaches us what it means to passionately pursue God. This, if you can get this from the heart of David, if you can understand what David wrote in Psalm 63 here, if you can really develop this type of mentality and ask God to give you this heart in pursuit of God, this is an incredible, incredible psalm. You might memorize this psalm. That might be a great thing to do. Memorize it and say it, pray it out loud. Psalm 63:1, O God, thou art my God. Early will I what? Early will I seek thee. Early will I seek thee. He's not talking about a Bible reading chart here. He's not talking about a prayer list. He's talking about passionately pursuing the presence of Almighty God. Early will I seek thee. Look at this. My soul. Now, we're talking about meditation on the scripture. We're talking about stop reading the Bible and meditating on it. The word soul there is there for a reason. The word soul's not body. The word soul's not spirit. You understand that you're also a triune being? You understand what it means, what your soul is? Do you get that? Have you studied that? Do you understand when he says, my soul thirsteth for thee? Do you understand what that part of you is? What part of you is your soul? And that part should thirst for God. What I'm saying is folks, listen to me, David got this thing. I believe the soul is made up of the heart and the mind. It's the seat of the emotion and the seat of the intellect. The mind and the passions and the emotions thirsting after God. Thirsting for God. For thee. Now notice this. What else he says? My what? My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Let me just throw this out to you, and I don't want you to misconstrue this. Meditating on the Bible is not going to make you so that you never get sick or never have an ache or pain. But I will promise you this. Meditation on the Bible is good for your body. I believe what we think about, and we could sit here and I could teach this, I promise you. I preached for years a message called Sound Advice from Dr. Solomon in the book of Proverbs. I probably ought to preach it again. You cannot believe in the book of Proverbs how many times what you think about, what you meditate upon affects your physical body. I just feel rotten all the time. Well, what do you think about all the time? And again, I'm not saying that there aren't people that have real life physical problems, and like I said, it's not a magic pill, but I'm going to tell you something. We feel bad a lot of times physically is because we're feasting on garbage. If you mentally, if you physically feast on garbage, your body's going to react. If you mentally feast on garbage, your body's going to react. I believe that. I'm convinced of that. I can feel pretty good, or I can feel pretty lousy, and most of the time, I can trace it back to how disciplined my thinking was in that day. And again, I'm not saying that aches and pains are going to go away, and but you know what? You can have a sore back and still have a good heart, and still have your flesh strengthened through proper meditation and meditating on the right things. Here we go. I'm not going to get through reading that. I just thought I'd read it and quit, but I want to preach it, you see. Take this week. Let me just read it to you. Think about the words now that I've slowed us down. He said, my soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen in thy sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth. Boy, did you get this, verse 8? My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. Has your soul ever followed hard after God? Has your soul ever followed hard after God? I mean, honestly, I'm asking you a question. I mean, can you go back and say, I remember a time when my mind and emotions, my mind and heart, all was consumed with pursuing God. That's how David lived his life. Then verse 9, but those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by me shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Here David separates himself very distinctly from the Psalm 1:1 crowd. He said, I'm not going to be a part of that group. I'm going to be part of the Psalm 1:2 crowd. I want to be a part of that crowd too. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for meeting with us, Lord. May we learn what it is, God, to mentally seek your face. Help us, Lord, with our heart, with our mind, the seat of the emotion, seat of the intellect. Help us, Lord, to purposely plan, discipline ourselves to seek our God. Oh, Lord, you say, please seek me. and you command us and you encourage us to seek you. And then you say, if you will, you'll find me. I'm not going to hide long from you. I long for somebody that's wanting to get to know me. And I pray, Lord, that you'll stir something in our hearts this morning. God, please, in Jesus' name, amen.